Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 208 for December 17th, 2018. If you have not had a chance to look at today's report, it is the 273rd weekly report. You can go to, you should be seeing it on your screen while I'm talking. But you can also go to timingresearch.com/reports to get access to either the web or PDF version. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, but you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes now on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research, and we have a great lineup here today, and Dave Landry is back to moderate. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him for the last CFN episode for the year. So.
All right. Thank you, David Cosmeter, and thanks to Timing Research for having me back once again. We got a full lineup today, so we'll have to move through this quickly. If I do cut you off just for time reasons, we'll circle back towards the end if you have any closing thoughts. So I'll make sure I check with everybody before the end of the show. In no particular order other than the order of logging in, I'm going to go through you guys. And first of all, Fausto Puglisi from CyberTradingUniversity.com. For those of us who don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us a little bit about CyberTradingUniversity.com. Fausto?
Well, thanks, Time Research, having me here again. I've been doing this for 25 years now, and I think this is probably like my 1,000th time on this show. I love coming on. This is great. Always like to talk to everybody. I'm actually a day trader, one of the original Souls Bandits who started back in the early 90s. And now we have an online educational school that I started back 25 years ago, where we started the first online chat trading room and the online webinar technology of teaching people around the world how to do the art of day trading and swing trading, a little bit of options. So like I said, find out more. Feel free to visit us at ctu.co. And if you want to learn a little bit more about how to day trade today's volatile markets, and they are volatile.
Yeah, that's an understatement. Okay, Norman, you next. Also a veteran of the show, Norman Hallett from the disciplinetrader.com. For those of us who don't know you, Norman, tell us a little bit about yourself.
And easy the on the word veteran. Easy on the veteran part. it's like all my peeps are here. We got Fausto, Simon, all my mentors here. I am Norman Hallett, and I've got a degree in math, which sometimes does me some good, sometimes doesn't. I trained as an engineer, which seems to be what a lot of us in the trading world originally trained for, but didn't like all the boring people that were involved in engineering. So we turned to trading to make our careers. In any event, I specialize in the area of the mental and emotional issues, helping traders control their emotions. It's probably the least appreciated area because you get to blame yourself for all your problems. And I get to tell you that that's okay. And that all you need to do is start correcting those things. So the disciplined trader is all about helping you be mentally and emotionally fit, which is the primary reason most traders with very good trading systems don't do very well. So I'm here to help if you need me. And thanks again for having me, especially on this final show of the year.
Yeah, Norman, glad to have you back. Simon, let's go to you. Simon Klein from TradeSmartForex.com. For those of us who don't know you, you know the routine. Tell us a little bit about yourself and a little about your trading, Simon.
Okay, it's great, David and everyone else here. It's great to be back on the show again. Again, I've been on the show many times. I try and do it at least once a month, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to be with you guys as well. So I'm the CEO of TradeSmart, which I started a number of years ago, and the website's TradeSmartForex.com. I've been trading professionally for over 14 years, and I started this trading business in order to help people learn how to read the market and how to run a successful trading business, which includes how to develop your own strategies which fit your personality and lifestyle. So I started out life straight out of university working at Credit Suisse in London, and then I moved to New York, and then I worked at a number of trading floors and funds, and then I kind of went by myself. So, and helping traders every day. We have a live trading room. We run every day, and we're up nicely for the year. And we have one super trader who joined the live trading room, and she's making over 20% a month consistently trading 1 hour a day. So that's pretty good.
That's pretty cool. I'd like to hear some more about that at some point. Bennett McDowell of TradersCoach.com. Bennett, for those of us who don't know you, you know the routine. Tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about TradersCoach.com.
All right. Great to be here again, Dave. Good to see you and everybody here. Let's see. I started out in trading in the 1980s, worked on Wall Street for a while. Eventually, the technology got such that we could go out on our own, did that in the 90s. Started TradersCoach.com about 1998, provided a service of just coaching. Then we went into the software tools we use. use and so forth. And, you know, here we are today. Technology is amazing. It's amazing that we're able to do this on the web like this. And it's really says a lot, because I can remember a long time ago, we'd have to go to trade shows in order to meet people and get in front of people. So this is really great. We trade a variety of markets. I trade the futures, stocks, love the futures the best. And we take more longer positions in stocks than we do shorter positions. Most of our short positions are in the futures markets. We coach traders around the world today. Our software is used in over 80 countries worldwide. And, you know, in trading, if you're not really having a blast at doing it, why doing it? And it's just a great profession. I think we're all in. Yes, volatility is here today, but, you know, we've seen it before. Okay. So it's great to be here.
I agree. And I think it could be your friend. I know a lot of people freaking out, but if you just kind of recognize what is and live with it, it could actually work out nicely in your favor. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Dave Landry from DaveLandry.com. I've been trading for a very long time. My philosophy is to keep things very, very simple. I think you can only look so far out when it comes to markets. And that's why I'm slotted as a swing trader, but I will hold trades much longer term. And I'll get you a link in a little while. If you go to, well, I'll tell you the link. It's DaveLandry.com/CFN, and you put your information in, and I'll again bring this up towards the end of the show for crowd forecast news at CFN. I'll send you a bunch of information, keep you busy for a long time, give you a $100 gift certificate, and get all three of my books and learn a lot about my methodology. Get to know me first. I did recently launch a learning management system, and just because I've received so many emails over the years, I probably answered, by rough estimates, 100,000 emails, and I realized that that's pretty inefficient. So I created a learning management system, and if you put your name in the link that I provide, I'll give you access to first couple of modules of that, so you can get a feel for that, and then take it from there. And again, I'll give you all three of my books just to get to know me first. Anyway, let's go back to you, Fausto, and let's take a look at the first question, which is, which direction do you think the S&P index will move from today's open to Friday's close? And then the second part of the question is, rate your confidence to your answer by estimating the probability that you have correctly predicted this week's market move.
Well, you know, I've been so bullish every time I've been on the show ever since I've been here. And I tell you, I've been really, I trade the market every day. I'm with my traders every day. And, you know, and being at the end of this year, this is pretty much normal what we're seeing. We had an October crash that came in just recently, which we haven't had in a while. But now going into the S&P and see where it's going, well, I could tell you this. We're at a real major, major support. Like you could just see right now, just bounced off 2570. It tested this morning around 935. It bounced back up, went up about, it went up about 30 points. Dow's following side by side. So we're at a very, very critical point right now. I don't know if it's kind of hard, right? I've always been a bullish guy, you know, but I got one long out there right now, and I want something to happen to it, so I sold out of everything else. I did buy an insurance policy in UVXY and an ETF that's helped out make up for the difference. But I don't know. I think we're gonna probably be flat right here. I don't think anyone's gonna do anything crazy unless somebody says something dumb in the White House or something. I don't know, China. But other than that, I think it would be flat.
Well, give us an up or down, and just give us a low probability.
I think we'll probably end up going higher from where we are, because we're at a major support just to, from what I could see, you know, as in how much we came down. You know, basically, that's all I probably just give you. That's like a look at it. Cross my fingers.
All right. Rate your confidence to your answer by estimating probability you have correctly predicted this week's market's move. 10%? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Probably like maybe 30%.
30%. All right. That'll work.
Maybe 30%.
All right, Norman, same question. And rate your correct on that too.
Well, before I want Fausto to show us that finger that you crossed. Something's going on with one of your fingers.
I cut my finger not once but three times this weekend cooking, and just cutting away.
All right, I'm going to accept that. It's kind of like getting stopped.
The wine had something to do with it or whatever, but
it got stopped. That well, you know, I can. This is a picture version of the of what's going on. Can you see my arrow here?
Yeah, and keep in mind. We're gonna ask for developing events in the next question too, but you can go ahead now since you've got it.
This is, look at this support. I mean, this red line through here, this is what Faust is talking about, and I couldn't agree more. We're right here. We've broken through it here midday in this last final line, broken through some of the recent lows, still challenging those that were made back in March after the first fall. This is a very critical area. There's an old expression that three times is a charm, and you can see these last few dips. This may be the third or fourth. I think there's a chance here that we do break down here to some degree. I'm going to call for a lower week. I'm always wrong. I have to tell everybody out there that I was kind of right the first time I was on the show here, and I was dead wrong the last couple of times. But I think weekly is very hard to call the market. I think it's probably one of the toughest time periods to call. But, you know, all this red, all these days where you're seeing big moves where the market starts, ends at the low of the day. And if you live through those lines, you had a lot of hope during a lot of those days that you'd see higher moments. But, we're seeing anywhere from 7 to 10 days down, 7 to 10 days up, down, up, down, all in this last 60-day period. I just see us sloping down. I think four times is going to be a charm here. So I'm looking for a lower market this week, and I'm going to give it something in the order of a 55% confidence because, I started this by agreeing with the fact that this is a very, very strong support area, and you got to give that some attention too. So that's what I think.
Okay. And Simon, let's go to you next, up or down, and then we'll get to developing events in the next segment.
Yeah, again, it's an interesting question, especially this week, because we're pointing down, I'm moving down, but we're at a level where we could actually move up from. But from what I'm seeing on the charts, I would say kind of slightly higher than 50% to the downside, also slightly downward bias. It's starting to look like a market top. But
you can bring up some charts in the next in just a minute on that too, because I know you normally have a pretty good layout there to show. Bennett, let's go to you, same question, up or down, and then rate your confidence.
Okay, let me just pop my charts up here so you can see those. All right, so this is a very short-term time frame. I think this is really going to tell us too much for the end of the week, but certainly for today, it looks like a lot more lowers coming. So if we go to the 60-minute time frame, one of the indicators that I rely on a lot is this one here. It's called the PTF. When it is red, what you do is you find the lowest low in the red area, which is this area here that's recently forming last week, and now it looks like it's coming into play again. If that's red, this indicator has a 75% accuracy rate of indicating more lows. So this is a 60-minute chart. Now, we may drop down and reach that new lower level right away earlier in the week, and then the market could reverse and come back. That's one of the things we don't know. So we'll have to wait and see how that goes. Let me just make sure. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I think we just dropped off something, maybe the audio or something or video. But in any case, so I would say probably lower with about an 80% probability by the end of the week on this. Where I could be wrong is if we reach down here lower by Wednesday or so, and then have some type of rally, Santa Claus rally towards the end of the week. But for right now, I'm going to go lower. I'm going to stick with the all the instruments here that basically say lower lows are coming.
Okay. And then I'm going to go ahead and ask you out for the next question on that. Now let's, it's for, let's see, Fausto, we got you. And then I think next up is going to be me on this. I'm going to go ahead and say lower just because I'm a trend follower and you can hear from you guys. It could be a little mixed. I think we're very, very oversold in here. I actually played the opening gap this morning. Luckily I got out by the skin of my teeth and scalped a little bit. And I was hoping for much more. No, hoping one hand and, you know, the other, but it's just fairly ugly out there. I'm a trend follower and I'll circle back and I'll show you some charts about what I'm saying. So I'm going to say lower and I'm going to give it 60%. And let's go back to you. In this case, let's go back to Simon. And Simon, what developing events? And then let me read the actual question. If you want to pull up a chart while I read the question, feel free to do so. Please share specific reasons you think the S&P will be headed in. I think you said lower this week.
Okay.
Simon?
You know how you're starting to understand how I view the markets now and how I trade.
Yeah.
A few more shows, you'll be able to do it yourself the same way.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
I know Norman started to a little bit, yeah. Started to take on a little bit of what I do.
Don't blame me. Okay.
Yeah, we still haven't gotten the accent down yet, but we'll work on it.
Okay, so let's go top down from, let's go from a monthly chart. Okay, so we're seeing this is the market rallying and this is the market dropping down. Now look at these bars with tails at the bottom. Yeah, so this means usually we're going to have another move to the upside. There we go. Now, look at this bar and this bar. Who's in control of the market the past, like this month and the past 4 months?
The bears.
Bears are in control. When the bears are in, it's like, if we go down here, bulls are in control. You get the big green bars down here and everything. The bars on the buy side are much bigger, almost no red bars at all until here. And that's because we capitulated to the upside. We kind of went, you know, we kind of accelerated up, which usually brings a kind of move to the downside like this. Over here, this is looking more, starting to look like a market top. We came back here, and if you look on the trend here, is broken. We broke the uptrend. We're no longer, the way I look at trend, we broke the uptrend. What's interesting, though, is if you look at the Nasdaq futures on the monthly chart is still in an uptrend. So the Nasdaq is looking a little bit stronger than the S&P 500. Now, if we take it down to a weekly chart, you can see we're in that level of demand, the demand level over here. But we've pushed up from it a number of times, and we're coming back. And as Norman said, three times a charm, third times usually the odds are it's going to go through it. Yeah, not all the time, but sometimes. So put that together with this is looking like a potential market top. We also went below this base. If we look at the daily chart, yeah, we kind of gapped up. This is what you call a novice gap when you gap up into supply after a move, and this thing sold off. And we came below this base into demand and then pushed up, but we couldn't follow through, and it came down again, showing weakness. It's not usually this sort of structure. When it comes back down, will kind of rocket to the upside, but it failed this time and turned to the downside, showing more bearishness. So the market is looking pretty bearish at the moment, but we are at a level over here that could hold. I always say to my traders in the trading room, you know, we're pointing down in a level. We could, it's weak, but we still could have another potential rally coming up from here. And then after that, it may go through it the next time. You don't know. So this is an area what I call decision making. There's two modes in the market. There's decision making and opportunity. This is decision making. Opportunity is where, you know, I'm up here, the market just tipped to the downside. I'm going to, you know, I broke whatever. I'm going to take it to the downside. I've got room to drop here. Down here, it could go up. And if it drops, we've got room to drop below. And we also have other. Now, I just want to just show you very quickly the Nasdaq futures on the monthly chart so you can see the difference. We haven't gone below this area yet. We're still holding here. This is looking a bit stronger on the monthly chart for the time being. But this is looking less of a pullback and maybe more of a top as well because of the size of the bars. Okay, so that's why I think maybe lower. But there's a little chance that it could bounce up again.
Okay, cool. And then I'm going to skip over those who already showed your chart just because we have so many people here. But keep in mind that, again, we're going to circle back in the end in case there's anything. Fausto, I don't think you showed any charts or anything yet. So do you have any additional reasons to why you picked, up with 30%?
Only thing is that, like I said, we're testing some major support levels right here. And like I said, I'm only 30% positive that it's going to go higher, but we are making what's called lower lows, which I know Norman just pointed out a bunch of them right there too. But it's a major, major support level. And if we break this, I mean, that's where program trades and start kicking in. And you can see a Dow drop down probably to like maybe 22,000. So it's a really major support number where we're at. So let's just, let's see what happens. But it's, you know, like right now we're down 32. I'm watching pretty closely. We're gonna hit 300 on the Dow again. So it's coming down pretty fast. When things go down fast, they bounce pretty big. So let's see what happens at these support levels. But I'm thinking 30% bullish right here.
Okay, and it doesn't look like it wants to. I've got a new setup here. I went from multiple monitors on the screen to a single monitor. So I'm not sure if I can get it shared properly. But a couple of things that have me concerned is that we have what I call bow tie down, where you get a 10-day simple, a 20-day exponential, a 30-day exponential moving average, and they all come together and begin to spread out. And the other thing, too, is I recently published a system where if the market is simple as it sounds, believe it or not, it actually works fairly well, and it's caught every major bull and bear market over the past 100 and something years or so. But basically, you want to exit when you have a close below the 50-week moving average. And I know the screen's kind of hard to see, but we do have that close below the 50-week moving average. And then the other caveat, or the other rule, I should say, it must be 10% off its closing high. And so we have the moving averages come together, spreading out, and then we have that other system that is triggering. And once again, as I said a minute ago, if you go to my website /CFN, there's a market timing course that I just put out recently, and that is free. And I discuss all these things in a lot more details just to keep it moving along today. I'll go ahead and just leave it at that. But I'm a trend follower. I like to keep things really, really simple. We're obviously banging out new lows in the P's. So I don't see any reason to get too excited and try to catch that falling knife. I will, with the caveat that I will occasionally play an opening gap reversal. If I come in tomorrow, let's say, and we're down, let's say 2% on the open or whatever the number is, maybe even 1% or down fairly hard, I might go in and try to play a little dip intraday just to catch a little bit of a bounce, but that's not my bread and butter. That's just something that I'll do on the side. The only place I'm seeing opportunities at this juncture is in very speculative issues such as IPOs. And then I'm going to keep an eye on the commodity related stocks, but they've been so beat up as of late. I'm really not seeing a whole lot of opportunities there as of late.
Dave, can I ask you a quick question, Dave? You started out your opinion before as calling the market very, very oversold. One of the risks that I think we could be breaking through this time around is I don't see it being very, very oversold. I see it as being kind of oversold, but certainly not in the oversold indicators like RSI that we've had in the previous three drops over the last couple of months. So I think the fact that it wasn't so as oversold as last time gives me a reason to believe that we may be breaking through. What are you looking at that makes you call it very, very oversold?
I'm just eyeballing a chart. And if you look at, we ran up, we shot up to 2,800, and then we dropped right back down to 2,600 on the cash S&P 500. So I keep things really, really simple, but I think you could probably use other metrics too. Take a look at like the distance away from the 50-day moving average, if you want to do that, the 50-day simple. Just in general, and anytime you're banging out new lows with vigor like we are now, I would consider that an oversold market. And I just can't get that excited about it. I know there's a lot of people out there that are calling a low, but they've been predicting early and often. So as a trend follower, and some people call me a trend following moron, I just prefer to keep it really, really simple. And again, when I'm playing these intraday bounces, that's kind of like an S&G trade. I'd rather just kind of hold on to a position for weeks, months, and even years, as opposed to taking that day trade like that. And that's just something that's just for fun. And I kind of see it as it's not exactly money line in the corner like Jimmy Rogers says, but sometimes it just gets so oversold on the open. You get that little bit of a pop up, you play it, you get out, and then you wait for another one. That's kind of what I did today, but wasn't that impressive. I'm not bragging, you know, barely got out on that one. But yeah, there's nothing in particular I'm looking at other than just the charts. And we've dropped really hard, a couple of hundred and change points on the S&P over a short period of time. So that's why I say it's oversold. But I don't use any oscillators or anything like that.
Why bother?
Yeah. But, you know, I respect, you know, it's kind of interesting. Two things I've already gleaned is like, one, we all have our different methods, which I guess I already knew. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is that given the nature of this market, it's like we all have a bit of an unsure opinion on where it's headed. So that's kind of the novice traders out there need to realize that, you know, the combined experience here is probably 100 years or more. And we're all a little different on the market. So it's not necessarily a market you want to rush out and start trading if you're brand new to trading. Okay, question of the week, and then let's go to you, Simon, for the question of the week. And the question is, what sort of hedging or portfolio protection strategy, do you implement in your trading or investing?
I use risk management using stops and position sizing, and that's basically it. Very simple. So every trade I take, I position size to risk whatever I'm risking, 1R, one risk unit, whatever that may be, and manage the trade accordingly. So I don't really use hedging strategies. I don't go long and short at the same time.
Okay.
Or use any forms of options to hedge risk.
Okay.
I just manage risk and make sure that my reward is more than my risk for most of my trades. And that way you don't have to be right all the time.
Gotcha. I'm going to have to borrow quite a bit of your answer there. Norman, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to borrow most of it myself, except for I wanted to emphasize my primary feeling about position sizing. I think position sizing is really where you can control things. I also think that when you take a look at a chart and you take a look at what you want to do with that chart, that you need to have a plan beforehand on where you're going to add positions. If you're looking to add positions to increase your position size or take off positions, I tend to put most or all of my positions on initially and peel them off as the market develops. This gives me a sense of control. Again, I do a lot of things because I want to tame the mental and emotional part of what I do. And I not only do a subconscious training for 7 minutes before I start every trading day and 7 minutes after I end my trading day, but I also do things within the trading day to help me stay on my plan. And I think position sizing and having a plan for where you're going to peel off positions or add positions gives you the kind of control that allows you to maximize a trade and stay in the moment. So that's my complete answer, that's my focused answer. But I would have to agree with Simon about, of course, stops and other things that I'm sure we all use.
Yeah, and one of the big controversies about the show is that there is no controversy. We don't seem to get into a heated debate or anything, and I certainly can't argue with that. And I think that if ever you feel some sort of uneasiness in your trading, it's probably because you don't have a plan in place, and that's that you can get in a lot of trouble when you don't. But we'll come back to that too. Fausto, what sort of hedging or portfolio protection strategies do you implement in your trading or investing?
Well, you know what? We're all types of different type of traders here that are even listening in. But for me, as a day trader, is just the plain old fact is that I just close out all my positions. I'm always in cash. Now, if you're a swing trader and you're a little nervous, like I told you, I do some swing trading. You know, then you get, and if you're worried about like how to hedge yourself, you know, buy an ETF as an insurance policy, you know, to back it up, you know, or maybe do an option play, buy an insurance policy on the option. But for me personally, you know, I like to sleep at night and I'm just, you know, I just get out. I just sink or swim. If I'm in a bad position, don't try to overtrade, which is another big thing, you know, just focus on what you want to make and lose for the day. And that's it. But pretty much just get out of my, just sit in cash. That's
okay. Bennett, to you.
Well, I think I agree with everybody. I think risk control is really important. I think it really separates novice traders from experienced traders. And I think position sizing is really, really important as well. I think it depends, you know, on your time frame you're trading. If you're trading a really long position, if you think the bull market's going to continue for years and you take a position off a weekly chart, well, your position size is going to be lower than that of somebody trading a shorter term frequency. So, you know, it all comes into play to risk control. So I think everybody, you know, hit all the buttons on that already.
Okay. I'm not a big fan of hedging. I know that hedging is very expensive. If you buy some sort of hedge and your position goes, let's say you want your position to go higher, that means that hedge is going lower and it's costing you money and then you got to reset it. And it also hurts your performance in general. So I think if you're somebody, as I often say, somebody like Larry McMillan, I know in his hedge fund, he's got a hedging strategy, but it's a little bit more complex and he spent his entire life trading options and he knows what he's doing. So in a case like that, I think that's fine. But as a general statement, hedges are expensive and can really, really hurt your performance. Now, as far as risk management, sort of agree with what you guys said. I have a stop in place on every trade. I also believe that you must be positioning yourself for potentially unlimited gains with limited losses. So in doing that, I'm looking to take a swing trade off of position and then slowly transition on the remainder of the position to a longer term position, because that's where the money is. And again, as I mentioned earlier, if you go to DaveLinner.com/CFN, you can get my third book, which is The Layman's Guide to Trading Stocks, for free. And in that, I discuss the money management plan, or you can get the module off of my website on that in a lot more details. But that's the way I look at it. I think, again, you have to position yourself for the potential of unlimited gains and keep your losses limited. And also, as was it Norman touched upon quite a bit, you need to have some sort of plan in place. And what I find, if I ever find myself not knowing what to do, I just quickly ask myself, what should I be doing? And then go ahead and implement that plan right away. But much easier to have that plan in place to begin with. Okay. Each week, or in more recent times, I should say, I guess it's been about a year now, we do a segment called Trade of the Week. So let me start by saying that I don't actually have a trade of the week this week. If you guys have one, begin thinking about it now, and we'll go to whoever has one. Just let me know. We'll go to you first. Right now, there's just not a whole lot out there that's worthwhile. I am watching a few speculative IPOs and a few speculative issues because they can trade sometimes contrary to the overall market. And I find when the market begins to tank, you have this last little run towards those really speculative issues. So other than that, I'm really not seeing a whole lot to do. So unless you want to come in, let's say we're down again 2% on tomorrow's open for the advanced traders, then maybe go to look to play that opening gap reversal. But that's just a day trade and that's not your bread and butter. At least it's not my bread and butter. And if you don't know what I'm saying, talking about, then please don't try it at home. So I'm going to go ahead and pass on that for the most part. Again, unless we get an opening gap reversal. Fausto, do you have a trade of the week for us?
You know what? There's a lot of opportunities out there. Listen, stocks got crushed. NVIDIA, you know, got destroyed. You just mentioned some IPOs. One I've been watching very closely, I did really well with, is IQ. It's very similar to another Roku trade. That was an IPO, went from like 16 to like 47. And I'm really interested on it because I made a lot of money on it when it went public. It's almost at its support levels right now. So if this market turns a little bit, I'm looking at these stocks that really, really got crushed. BJ's been a fan of that stock. It's another one took off really big, and they're all coming. Like you said, I'm very interested in a lot of the IPOs that have been out. They've been out for about 3 to 6 months, and they're coming back down. So this market, some of you feel like you missed some of these opportunities, but that's as a swing trade, not as a day trade. As a day trade, I'm just working off the big percentage gainers and losers pretty much, and that's it.
Got you. Norman, do you have a trade of the week this week?
Well, I've got two to watch. One in the stock area. Fausto probably has glanced at Overstock, which was kind of a darling because they thought that there would be a big player in the Bitcoin area, and the Bitcoin has really taken a hit, and so has Overstock. In fact, Overstock was rallied all the way to its 20 in the middle of last week. It's now trading under 14, making new lows. That stock is, you talk about very oversold. By the indicators I look, it's very oversold. I would tell people to watch for a signal to get a pop to the upside on that. But the main trade that I've been looking at literally for 3 weeks is the accumulation of the copper market. Copper has been going sideways between $2.70 and $2.85 for almost 3 months now. That sideways accumulation never goes unachieved in some way or another. We're either going way down or way up in that market. I'm just waiting for the breakout. So if you get anybody out there, get a chance, you can take a look at Fremont. It's not quite the same chart, but it is a copper-oriented chart if you don't trade commodities. But the copper contract has gone sideways for way longer than I would expect. It doesn't seem to have much of a reaction to the way the stock market's been going. I thought with the fall in the stock market, copper usage and demand would go down. It's resisted that and stayed in this range. So I would be watching that trade.
What month are you looking at?
I'm looking at March right now.
March? Okay, cool. All right, Simon, do you? I know you probably got something the currency's brewing, maybe?
I'm going to quickly look at gold because it's interesting. We've been watching it for a while. Another commodity. You can see the charts. So gold we've been bullish on since down here. Since this move up and on the weekly chart and this pull back down here, we've been bullish. And we've had a move up to this kind of supply zone and pull back. And today there was a nice entry over here on the 4-hour chart right there. This bar says I'm going up. This bar pulls back into it. Direction change here in. And there's your move. It's like a $10 move. So that was a move that we called out today in our trading room to be on the long side of gold today, I guess as a day trade. But as a bigger time frame trade, we may actually continue moving higher. If we break this level, we could see gold going back up to the 1300 area and potentially higher than that. Now, I'm just looking at the chart here, and it's actually kind of interesting the way the last pullback worked. It pushed up again and then kind of sold off, and this is what caused, it looks like, this move down. So we may get another similar thing happening here. We may get another move to the downside that would potentially be a viable pullback for another potential swing trade. And when we talked about this as a swing trade down here around the 1200 area. So that's that. And another interesting one that we called the break, I think I called it a number. This is Bitcoin futures. We called this to break down. I don't even remember, a number of shows ago. We said it's probably going to break to the downside. There's a breakdown. And we said, there's your line in the sand last time I was on the show, I think, or one time, like if it moves up here and breaks it, we're going higher, but it didn't. It carried on. Now the line in the sand for the upside now is here. We're kind of right there. If we break above this level, we may get a rally to the upside again on Bitcoin futures. So again, it's been kind of a big drop to the downside. And as I've said previously, it may get to a point where the cost of mining Bitcoin is more than the actual value of Bitcoin, and that wouldn't be good. That would almost be the end of Bitcoin as we know it.
Interesting. I do have two questions for you. The first question, getting to that question, is Is there any metrics on that? Is it the competition, or what's the metrics on that? Do you think the competition is squeezed it out too much, or what's going on?
I don't really know what's going on behind. I'm only looking at the charts. That's basically that's almost the only thing I look at. I have someone else who helps me run the trading room called Mike, and he knows a bit more about what's going on behind the scenes with Bitcoin and the pricing and mining and the cost of mining and that sort of thing.
But, is the lack of volume getting in your way, Simon, with trading Bitcoin?
No, I'm not really trading. I'm just watching it because it's interesting and a lot of people want to know what's going on. So I'm just watching the charts, reading them the same as I do any other. I mean, look at these levels exactly. And this was a level to short at again. And this, if you watch this, this is a very interesting structure here. This is a demand, like a descending kind of ceiling with a floor that's finally going to break through. And that's exactly what happened here. And I did say, everyone, if it breaks this level, it's going down. And big time, it went down almost 50%, 6,000 to almost 3,000. That's a massive move in a very short amount of time.
The other question I wanted to ask you real quick before I forget is I noticed, like, and you do this quite often, you show the multiple time frames. So if you're trading something like gold, or are you getting in on a lower time frame and then slowly working that trade into big longer time frames?
That's a very big question to answer, and then this is the whole question of multiple time frame analysis. And again, it's something I've been grappling with for years. Is it the big time frames that control what the smaller time frames do? Or is it the smaller time frames that dictate how the bigger time frames are going to play out? And I come to the conclusion after many years of thinking about it, that it's a bit of both, and it depends. So a lot of the time, what I do is very obvious. I'd go from the lower time frame, from the bigger time frame down, and I say, I want to be on the long side here now. I want to be on the long side down here, and I'll find an entry on a smaller time frame that makes sense so I can manage my risk. And I'll play it to bigger targets based on the bigger time frame, but use a smaller time frame to manage risk.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I know. What I'm trying to do is turn a swing trade into a multi-year trade, and that doesn't happen that often, but every now and then it does, and that's where the real money is, and that's what makes my entire year. And I was just kind of curious if you were kind of working your way up. So that's an interesting answer there. Bennett, to you, do you have a trade of the week for us?
So many opportunities, so little time. All right, let me switch screens here. I got one here I'll show you. Let's see how that works there. Okay, good. All right, so like Simon, I have multiple time frames as well. Big believer in that. I'm a big believer in the Elliott wave. We've been using that. I've been using that for over 20 years. Takes a little while to get the hang of it, but once you do and you learn to avoid the wave counts that don't make any sense because you're in a correction, then you tend to get a lot more reliable in your trading. So in this case here, on the 60 minute, we have on the left side, the daily on the center and the weekly on the right. And we took a little trade last week we entered on the 60. We're looking for about a $70 price range in the target zone here that we've labeled for wave five. Probably won't be in this trade for, you know, more than just a little bit longer. Usually 60 minute trades, we're in there for 2 days, depending on how good the trade is, up to 2 weeks. The longer you're in it, usually the better you're doing. But we also have a red PTF on the 60. So again, that's giving us pretty good confidence that it's going to get into that target range. And our risk to reward ratio is 2.67 based on where we got in and where we're headed, with a position size of 5,986 shares based on the values we input into our risk control calculator. So that's kind of, to me, that's a really good trade in this volatility, because you're not exposed for a very long period of time, and you could take advantage of these shorter swings that we have during this type of market condition. Now, when the market's trending, we don't take many 60-minute trades. We're usually taking longer-term trades. But during this market with this volatility, this is a great time frame to trade. So that's it. NXPI is the one we're recommending right now.
Okay, cool. Okay, now I sort of rushed through everything today just because we have so many people. But now's the time if you guys want to just have some closing thoughts. It could be about the market, yourself, your website, whatever you want to talk about. And in no particular order, other than which I have you written down, let's go back to you, Simon. Any closing thoughts or anything else you want to tell us about TradeSmart4x.com?
Mic's on. That's it. You can hear me?
Okay. I thought you went to take a leak or something.
Okay, so you can, anyone watching can go to my website. It's tradesmart4x.com with the number 4. So tradesmart, then the number 4, then an x, then .com. And if you want, you can sign in here and put your name and email address, and you can get a little video that will tell you about what things you can should consider about building a profitable trading strategy, what goes into that. There's still a webinar available if you want to see the last time how we prepare for success, preparing for success in 2019, what you need to do at the end of the year to prepare yourself for the next year. So this is a time of the year to start thinking and planning 2019. So you can go and watch that webinar if you want. It's still available and it's free. You can follow me on YouTube channel. And again, go and have a look around the website, YouTube channel, get an impression, understand what I do, see if it fits, if it's suitable for you. If it is, then you're welcome to come and join our trading room. You can come in for a trial of the trading room as well and see if you like it. We prepare every Sunday ahead of time, and we have our weekly preparation session where we go through all the markets that we trade, and we set our supply demand zones and have a game plan for the week. And that's how you usually start trading the week. And then we kind of adjust as the market changes, and we keep our finger on the pulse of the market every day our live trading room and have a plan. And I know, like today, for example, we called this trade in the trading room to take this on the short side right here at the London, the US Open, US market open, 8 a.m. Eastern time, to short this. And this was a nice 2-to-1 trade, 20 pips of risk with 40 pips return, 2-to-1, very easy trade to take. You get in here, you put your stop above here and target down there. And that's what we do every day. So you're welcome to come and join us. And great to be on the show again.
Cool. Glad to have you. You make that look easy. Why am I working so hard? All right, Norm, let's go to you. Same thing. Any closing thoughts? Anything you want to tell us?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thought I have is I really want to have Fausto's face and Simon's accent. I think that would be the perfect, trading combination. And it's all about confidence. I think if you had both of those, you'd be even more confident. I think the word opportunity was mentioned by just about everyone here, and I hear it all the time when I talk to traders. There's a myriad of opportunities, and one of the things, and even when you close out a trade, there's always another opportunity. I close out trades quickly that aren't working because there's always another opportunity. There are more, not only are there great opportunities, but there's big ranges. When you're right, you can be really right. And I'm just saying, you need to be in control of your mental and emotional faculties. And it starts with having a trading plan. And in the Disciplined Trader, we have some basics for you to make sure that you have the right trading plan and the right risk management plan. But also, you have to dig a little bit deeper into your brain, and just to make sure that you understand why you do the things that you do that are not helping you as a trader, and try to change things and do things that you so that you can do things that you do to help you with your trading. Here is our site. If you just go to thedisciplinedtrader.com, don't worry about the master program. If you just go to thedisciplinedtrader.com and sign up for a 14-day free trial, I think you'll see that if you work with what's between your ears a little bit and have the basics of how to have a strong structure to your trading plan, and have the right mental and emotional equipment to run that plan, you're just going to be a better trader and be able to take advantage of the opportunities, because you do not want next year's opportunities to pass you by. I really believe next year is going to be some of the best trading that I've seen in decades. So get your head straight.
All right, cool. All right, Fausto, to you.
First of all, Norma, I'll trade my face for your personality, because I tell you, you're the best when it comes to that. Norman, I learned so much from Norman regarding about the whole psychology part of it. Very, very important part. And I think we all could agree, everybody needs that. But to find out a little bit more about CyberTrainVersity, you could, we're actually running a promotion. We got the 12 days of Christmas that are going on right now. So feel free to browse our deals. I think everybody's always looking for a deal. Listen, you can learn a little bit from everybody here. Everybody wants to learn a little bit about what day trading is. Everybody wants to know a little bit about what swing trading is, Forex, futures, everything. But the only way you're going to know is you got to try what it's all about. And the biggest thing that I think everybody needs to learn more than anything, when you do come and visit CyberTrainVersity and you want to know the real truth about day trading, is I tell everyone, don't judge me. Look what everyone else is doing in the room. See how they're doing. See if they're making money. And then you'll know if it's for you or not. Because there's an old saying, everybody wants to trade doesn't mean everybody should trade. You know, so you got to be able to know if it's for you or not, and if it's something you could tolerate. But feel free to visit our 12 days of deals and try one of them out. And like I said, if you have any questions, feel free to email us. Email me. I'm always open to helping people out. I hate seeing people lose money. I hate going to events. I hate going and seeing people just sitting there just blind and look at you like you got seven heads. You got to learn if you want to earn, and that's the way I have to do it. That's why all of us love coming on here. And thanks for everybody for listening. Thanks for having me again, Trade Research.
Yeah, glad to have you. Bennett, any closing thoughts or anything else you want to tell us about traderscoach.com? You muted, Bennett.
Hey, Bennett, you're muted.
All right, let's try that.
And that concludes the secret of trading.
Yeah, the secret of trade is unmuting your mic. All right. So what I was saying is what a great room this was today, because everybody, great personality, a lot of fun. Everybody's comes from things a little bit different perspective. That's how you learn. I think we all focus on the same values, risk control, probabilities and things of that nature. So I think that's a key thing for anybody watching to take away. In terms of learning more about traderscoach.com, come to the website, get on our email list. Most of our marketing and so forth, I think, is done through email these days. And once you get on the list, you'll find out what we're all about. We got a ton of free videos out there on how our systems work, and you can get that right off the website. So I would just say, come by, visit us, get to know us, and we'll grow on you. Okay. So thank you, everybody, for having me, and happy holidays to everybody out there.
Yeah, you too. Again, Dave Lander from DaveLander.com. If you go to, I don't know if it's being shared or not, but I think it is, DaveLander.com/CFN for crowd forecast news, and put your information in. That'll give you access to the learning management system, and it'll also allow you to get all three of my books for free. If you go to my website homepage, you can do the same thing, which it won't include the promo code and all. So go through that other link that I just gave you. But if you are anxious to get started, both of these will bring you to the members page, and it will give you access to the free stuff, which has an introductory course and also has a market timing mini course, which I think right now is very important. If you go again to my homepage and website, if you want to get that mini course, it's right here. I think it's very important that you take this, especially given the nature of the market, and especially since we have some longer term signals that are triggering. So again, you know, like the other guys here, get to know me first, and then if you like what you see, stick around, and I think you will. All right, David Kosminer, thanks again for having me back, and thanks to all you guys. I'll let David call you out individually, but again, I think this was a great show, and I enjoyed being here again too. So thank you, David, and thanks to everybody else here. Back to you, David.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Great show. Just want to remind everyone listening or watching, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube. Getting close to 1,000 subscribers now. So once I cross that 1,000, that'll help get more distribution for the show. So be sure to subscribe. Also, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on your favorite podcast network. If you prefer listening to the audio version. And like I said, this is the last CFN episode for the year, but AYT will be back tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. So you can go to timingresearch.com/live to watch that. Larry Gaines, Jim Kenny, Neil Batho, and Michael Filiguera will be on for that one. And I just want to thank all my guests again for this episode. Simon Klein of TradeSmartForex.com, Norman Hallett of TheDisciplinedTrader.com, Fausto Puglisi of CyberTradingUniversity.com, Bennett McDowell of TradersCoach.com, and Dave Landry of DaveLandry.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.